Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Hey, believe it or not, it's already Wednesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog that popped up there this morning, so get yourself over there. Give yourself the opportunity to take a look at that. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z Man with three E's.
So, you know, Dan, I realize that you and I never really got a chance to talk about the Washington Redskins situation now that it appears that they're going to more or less end up having to change this name. You know, and then they went about it the way that I guess you would expect them to go. They went after their sponsors, which, you know, is obviously the best way to get stuff done. I don't know how you dealing with this.
I mean, let's be honest, the Redskins suck. They haven't done jack since drafting Triple whatever his kid's name was. Yeah, but, you know, what was his name? The young
Robert
kid.
Griffin III?
Yeah. See, I knew there was a three in there somewhere. So, I mean, you know, I don't know. When you think about it, so, yeah, this goes way back. So when I was in high school 20 years ago or more, we had a kid who moved from our school down to Peking, Illinois. I'm sure you've heard of it, Big Jack, only because you work for UPS or, you know, a major shipping company, so you might have seen that. And plus, I know you've traveled the state and the country, so you might have heard of Peking, Illinois. Well, this kid, I think his name was Scott, whatever his name was, doesn't matter. He moved down there, and then, like, by our junior or senior year, he moved back. And, you know, of course, the minute he moved back, everyone's like, hey, what's it like down there? And he's like, oh, my God. It's the most racist hick town in the state that I've ever been to. And, you know, we're like, well, give us an example. And he's like, well, they have a baseball team down there named the Peking Chinks.
Oh, good
yeah.
Lord.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you can't get any more racist than that, I don't know. And forgive me. I don't, you know, it's whatever. I said it, I'm sorry, but, you know, this was really happening. I don't know if this is still in existence anymore. I highly doubt it. But, you know, kind of going along that, we wouldn't have a team, you know, in close to one of the Chinatowns and, you know, whether it's Chicago, San Francisco, New York, L.A., wherever, that would be called the, let's just go, the Chicago Yellowskins. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know, I think it kind of goes along with the Redskins at the same time, but it's such a, it's one of those things where, you know, it's so hard. I mean, I think they would have to address, you know, forget the sponsors. Well, you got to go with the sponsors, but I think this is something they should have thought about a millennial ago and maybe, you know, reached out to, I don't know, whatever kind of Native Americans are in that area and get their sponsorship or, you know, kind of reach out in that way. So by now, I think it's kind of late. You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's super racist, I guess, but I could be wrong. I don't know. I mean, just like you, I've never really encountered that many Native Americans. And if I had, you know, it's, that wasn't my first thought is Redskins. You know what I mean? So, you know, the Blackhawks issued their statement, and, you know, there's a long thing. You'd have to look it up. I'm not going to get into it, but basically it's a representation of a chief from the Blackhawks. And, you know, it was founded by a guy who fought in the war of like 1812 or something alongside them. And that's kind of where they got their name. And supposedly the Wirtz family uses it to, I don't remember. They had a really good press statement, but I mean, as far as the Redskins go, I mean, I think it definitely rolls off the tongue, and it's just something we're used to. But, you know, I think they really – you're screwed if you don't remove the name and all your sponsors start pulling out. You know, I mean, I'm not the king of racial slurs and derogatory terms, so I'm not sure how high that ranks in the, you know, Native American community and how offensive it is. To be honest, I wish we had someone who could enlighten us a little bit more. But, you know, we've seen that here in Illinois where the Fighting Illini had to get rid of their quote-unquote mascot. You know, he did the dance and the rain dance and all that. And, you know, they've gotten over it. You know, unfortunately for Illinois schools, they're not a destination, kind of like we talked about yesterday with Chicago sports. So, you know what I mean? I mean, pretty much people who go there are either, I think, like foreign students that get accepted or Illinoisans. I never really heard of any out-of-staters really kind of saying, hey, I'm going to U of I, you know what I mean? So that's not cool, but that's just the reputation here. So, I mean, it's, to me, I don't know. I think people get way too attached to the name sometimes, especially when it doesn't really mean anything. And it could be derogatory. You know, if it's perceived that way, you know, let's just move on from it. You know, we don't have an Alabama Blacks or a Kentucky Whites team. You know what I mean? So you kind of keep going around that way. It kind of, when you put it up against those other terms, it just doesn't fit. And, you know, if you think about it, they already had changed the basketball team from the Bullets to the Wizards, which I don't know. Personally, I don't like the Wizards name. I think it's a dumbass name because, you know, when I think of Washington, D.C., I think of Wizards. No, I don't. You know, and it was unfortunate back in the 90s through wherever in the early 2000s when D.C. was literally the murder capital of the country. I would say the state, but they're not a state. So it kind of reflected, and it was removed because of that. I still think Wizards is a dumbass name. I don't care. You know, like I said, I just don't see how it fits. But you know, we have the Washington Capitals and we have the Nationals. I don't know what the issue is. You know, with the Redskins, I don't see why they're not just quickly figuring out a rebranding. You know, obviously, I don't think it should happen this season because that's a lot. That's a lot of work to do.
So, yeah, and you know, apparently they are working on something. You know, I think the difficult part for them is, you know, like I just read that Amazon has pulled all their Redskins merchandise. You know,
wow.
Nike can't even get to the Redskins page on the Nike site to buy anything. So it's, you know, I got to tell you, in a case like this, I think they're being treated a little unfairly because you can't expect them to make a determination in one day and then be able to change every single logo or, you know, where the name is printed or something like that. You know, I mean, at this point, what's the harm of, you know, everybody just continuing to call it the Washington football team for one more year?
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
is
it really that big of a deal for one more season?
I think the problem comes in is the fact that this is not something that just came up. this year, this week, this month, you know, this is something that's been discussed and brought to their attention within the last 5 years. You know, I think even, I don't know, I could be wrong. If it was before RG3 or after, but it's been enough time. And I think the ignorance of not even considering it was just flat out stupid. But at the same time, you know, why should the Reds change, or the Reds, the Washington team had to have changed when it seemed like they were the only ones being singled out? You know, we have the Florida State Seminoles, the Atlanta Braves, the Cleveland Indians, the Chiefs, which, I don't know. I don't know about that one. You know what I mean?
Well, to be fair, Florida State actually worked out an agreement with the Seminole tribe that allows them to use the name.
Mm-hmm.
So they went out of their way to do that. And I know the Blackhawks have the same type of understanding because, you know, as soon as this came out, you know, the Indians put out a statement saying that they're revisiting their name. So there's a good chance that they're going to change their name. The Braves said they don't feel there's a reason to change theirs because there's nothing derogatory about being a Brave, which makes sense. And then obviously truth is the highest honor you can obtain. So I don't know why anything would be racist there, but you never know. And, you know, in today's world, you know, who's going to get offended by what? I guess here, Dan, what I'm wondering is how big of a can are we going to open here with this to where everybody's offended by everything and all of a sudden it's just the Washington football team, the Dallas football team, the New York football team, the Chicago football team, and so on and so on. Or baseball or hockey or whatever.
Well, I don't think they'd be called the football team. It would be the Dallas Football Club. See, we would turn into soccer.
There you go. Yeah, because, I mean, it just seems, you know, because, I mean, if you think about it, Cowboys could be offensive to some people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that, is Giants not offensive to tall people?
Well, you know, the Cowboys is offensive to the remaining family members of those that were killed by the Cowboys that were highlighted
right
in Tombstone.
So, you know, and I know, yeah, we're being a little sarcastic, but, seriously, there's going to be people out there like that. I mean, you know, really the Utah Jazz, I mean, that's an affront to jazz music because Utah is probably one of the worst places to hear jazz music. You know, and I know they kept the name when they moved from New Orleans, but, it's just depending how you're going to, you know, start looking at these names and start thinking about these names, you know, I mean, are the Cincinnati Reds an offensive name? Because technically, you know, that's what the Russians were called. I mean, I know they shortened it from the Red Legs, but, you know, just Reds could be considered an offensive term. You know, is White Sox offensive because it has the word white in it? Is Red Sox offensive because it has the word red in it? You know, I mean, we're in such a weird situation now with this that are we just going to have to start changing everybody's name? You know, they're going to have to be the Chicago generics to not offend everybody?
I mean, if you think about it, take a look at the NBA or the WNBA team names. And they're pretty neutral on everything.
Yeah, you know, I think that they wanted to try to differentiate themselves. So, you know, which makes sense. I mean, obviously you want to have your own identity. You know, I mean, if the WNBA team in Chicago is called the Chicago Bulls, you know, that wouldn't be all that interesting. So, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, where does it end?
Hmm. It doesn't. It'll never end.
So, yeah, you know, and that's just kind of, you know, kind of to the point, you know, to where we are now. It's like, really, we, you know, and I can understand, okay, you want to get upset about the Redskins name. You know, let's face it, that's offensive. I don't know. I mean, is Indians considered offensive?
I don't know.
You know, I mean, it, you know, would have been better if they were the Cleveland Native Americans. So, you know, and I know originally I believe the team was called the Cleveland Blues, and then I think they changed to the Cleveland Broncos. So I guess they can always go back to one of those names. But you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you're you know, I mean, if you're the Redskins, do you just go with the obvious and you become the Washington Senators or the Washington Presidents or something like that? Or, what do you call them? the Senators or Presidents?
Well, you know, we get screwed by all of them, so.
There is a very funny meme going around that says that, you know, the Redskins were so, so upset by their name that they were going to drop the Washington part and therefore they'll just be called Redskins. I did get a kick out of that because of the way that was. But, I mean, it's weird. I mean, what do you call them? And oddly, and I don't know if anybody actually ever thought of this, once they do change the name, they just created a, you know, kind of a financial boom for the team, because anybody who's a diehard or lifelong fan is going to want a new jersey or some kind of new gear. So they're going to go out and buy a new jersey or buy some new gear, and the team and Nike and Amazon and everybody else who's not selling Redskin stuff is going to make a ton of money.
Yeah, well, you know, and I think that's the failure on their end, and was the fact that they didn't take it serious back when it's been brought up. I mean, this is not the first time, you know.
No, well, you know, I mean, it's not so much, I don't know if he didn't take it seriously, but, you know, these are kind of extenuating circumstances. I'm willing to bet he never thought it was going to get to this point. Because we haven't heard much about this lately. You know, once they lost the right, when they tried to invalidate his copyright, once they lost that fight, it kind of went away. You know, I mean, every now and then something popped up, and there were still some broadcasters who refused to say Washington Redskins. But, you know, that was few and far between, and now obviously with everything going on, you know, it's a big issue now, and I don't understand why they didn't go after the sponsors the first time, because the way to get things done is to go after somebody's money.
Yeah.
I guess maybe they thought he was just going to be Daniel Snyder was just going to be a nice guy and go, oh yeah, it's a good idea to change it. But again, you know, you're changing a lot of history. I mean, the team has been the Redskins for a long time. I don't know why they picked it. I did hear somebody say that the original owner picked it because he was racist, and they did take his statue down. It no longer sits in front of the Redskins building. So, I mean, you don't know how much truth there is to that, because this guy's been dead for quite some time now. But, it's just, I don't know. You know, who knows what name they'll come up with, but... You know, next year, my guess is they'll be the Washington something or other.
Yeah, well, and that's what I mean by not taking it seriously. You know, it was obviously an issue years past, and he obviously didn't do anything to rectify the situation, you know, make it okay, quotes, with, you know, any kind of Native American organization, you know, anything like that. He obviously didn't do anything, so it just, you know, I got my copyright, done. Screw you guys, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it was to the point where, you know, it didn't cost him anything. Mm-hmm. So he didn't have to worry about it. I mean, he was still getting his money. You know, but again, obviously, you know, once you start getting into people's money,
yeah,
then it becomes a problem. So now it's a problem. And, yeah, you know, I mean, it would have been great if he would have acted on it, you know, long before this or long before he was forced to. You know, that would have been a nice gesture on his part. But it's clear that this guy, you know, this guy doesn't care. He's one of the worst owners in sports. He's probably the worst NFL owner and the second worst owner besides James Dolan, who owns the Knicks. You know, they're probably one and two. So, you know, it's not a surprise. And honestly, Dan, I won't be surprised if he decides to fight this because he just seems like that kind of guy. So, you know, we'll have to, you know, I guess we'll have to see. But I know, the other thing that I found kind of, I don't know, odd. I don't know if you saw this, but there's a Senator Kelly. I'm gonna guess this is Loeffler, who's a Republican out of Georgia, just happens to co-own the Atlanta Dream, the WNBA team that you mentioned earlier. Now, she wrote a letter to the league commissioner, who's Kathy Engelbert, and she actually opposed the Black Lives Matter, where, you know, they want to write it on all the courts. And she opposed that, and she thought it would be better if they put an American flag on every jersey when they start, you know, when they start play again here. I think it's later this month. Now, you know, Loeffler's, you know, she's a huge supporter of Donald Trump. You know, that's been known. And, you know, there's some other odd kind of stuff there going on, you know, with her. But, you know, obviously, Dan, since she's on the wrong side of this, they want her out and she needs to sell her shares of the team. And I'm just to the kind of point, Dan, where I always thought in America you were allowed to have an opposing opinion, even if it's wrong. You're allowed to have mm-hmm. an opposing opinion. You know, you could tell me the grass is green, and I could argue with it that it's pink. Even though I'm wrong, I could still argue my opinion. And I just kind of, and like, I fully believe this lady's just nuts. I think she's completely wrong. But why isn't she allowed her opinion, Dan?
Well, because you're not allowed to not have a popular opinion in this country anymore. So, you know,
yeah,
I mean,
and, you know,
she, you know, whether she's racist or not, I mean, it hasn't been proven, but she doesn't agree with it. That's her version. And if we start removing, you know, not allowing people to have any opinion, how different are we going to be from China? Where you, or Russia, or Nazi Germany.
Yeah, and you know that's the odd thing is I don't know if the youth of America, you know, who've really been behind this movement, because that's, you know, kind of what it takes. You need the young people. I don't know if they're kind of realizing what they're walking themselves into, you know, to where it's, you know, it's one mindset and you're only allowed to think one thing, no matter, you know, if it's good, bad, or indifferent. You know, and again, I mean, I don't agree with this lady. I mean, I don't have an issue if they write Black Lives Matter on the court or if they, you know, if they post some of the women's names that were, you know, were killed by police officers, that's fine. The NBA's doing it. I don't have an issue with that. You know, they're going to put stuff on the jersey. You know, so I think it's, you know, it's good for what they're trying to accomplish, and, you know, hopefully it helps out. But again, I mean, you know, my whole thing is she should be allowed to have her opinion. You know, again, whether you think she's right or wrong, and it's more concerning to me than anything else, Dan, because you know, you and I don't always agree with the majority. I mean, how long before, you know, it's you and I up there getting roasted for something dumb I said on here?
Well, we don't make enough money.
No, fortunately, that may be a saving grace for us.
Oh.
But, yeah, it just kind of odd. But, all right, Dan, here you go. I saw this, and I immediately thought of you. Apparently, the rooftops at Wrigley have been approved for 25% capacity during games. So I figured you were probably already looking to see how to get yourself some tickets. So I decided to help you out, Dan. They're going to charge people. Ready? Are you ready for this? Dan, I don't know if you're ready for this one. $350 a ticket to watch the game from across the street.
I have two words for you.
How many did you buy? Oh.
Yeah.
So, I guess my question, Dan, if you came, you know, if your wife came home and you said, "Hey, honey, guess what? I bought us two tickets to the game." And she said, "Oh, okay. How much did it cost?" And you said $700. What would happen in your house?
Oh, she'd be pissed. There goes all my hands.
Yes. But, yeah, I saw this and I was just kind of like, okay. And, you know, the odd part, Dan, is they're probably going to sell all those tickets.
Oh, yeah.
So, it does look like here, Dan, it looks like you can get them for $250 on Sunday. And that does include food with beer and wine.
Oh,
so you're upset.
You know, I mean, no, it's still not worth $350. Unless,
what about two?
You know, you figure if you're a drinker, $10 a beer, 10 beers, it's $100.
Yeah.
If you can drink 25 beers, eat five hamburgers, you know, two hamburgers. Yeah. Okay, let's go 15 beers, two hamburgers, a hot dog and a piece of pizza and a pretzel and some ice cream. You're getting there. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just outrageous. And they're, well, it's going to happen. People are going to buy them, but I was going to say, I hope they don't.
So, yeah, when I saw the number, I was just, like, shocked. Yeah, I was like, wow, $350. But, yeah, like you said, apparently people are going to buy these. You know, they're definitely going to go.
That's just insane.
So, yeah, that's what I kind of thought, too, was it was just crazy. But, yeah, it seems to be the deal. So we will have to see how that goes. Obviously, neither Dan nor I will be buying any of those tickets. But, yeah, you know, maybe Mr. Fantasy's buying one. I don't know.
Him and his baller friends.
Yeah. Well, no, it's, you know, if it was the White Sox, he would be buying one, but he's probably not. Well, I don't know. Maybe he would buy one for the Cubs. You just never know. But yeah, that I saw that and it was just kind of like, wow. I honestly don't think I know anybody who's spending that kind of money. So maybe I just don't know the right people.
No, me either. That's just outrageous.
So, But yeah, you know, I don't know. Have you got around to checking out any of the inner squad highlights or any of the baseball highlights that have been out there since they started working out?
No, everything I see is all, what do you call it, just simulated. So I haven't really, I guess being out of it for so long, it's just hard to, like, even think about it.
Yeah, so did you catch the highlight of Masahiro Tanaka taking one off the noggin from Giancarlo Stanton?
No, but I did read about that.
Yeah, luckily Tanaka was obviously, I saw the highlight of it. It looked terrible. But yeah, he ended up being fine. So that was kind of interesting, but I didn't see any of the highlights of it, but I know Shohei Ohtani made an inner squad start and ended up walking 8 guys. So I don't know how that bodes well. I'm surprised Joe Madden didn't take him out after he threw all those pitches. But yeah, not the best start. But you know, obviously, you know, Garrett Cole looked really good in his start, and I did see the Reds named Sonny Gray their opening day starter, and they're going to have that Luis Castillo go second. So, you know, slowly but surely, we're kind of rounding into what appears to be baseball, I guess. So, you know, I'm still not quite sure. But I heard kind of an interesting scenario, and I'm wondering what you think about this one. Do you think there will be any players, you know, let's say any star player, since we're in a short season, you know, let's grab a team here. Say, well, let's use the Angels, since Mike Trout is the best player in baseball. Let's say after maybe 40 games, the Angels are, you know, 15-25. Is that 40? Yeah, that's 40. Do you think there's any chance that he just packs it in and walks away from the rest of the year? The player, any other star player whose team is, you know, maybe buried in the cellar and has no shot at any of these playoff spots? You know, could you see a Mike Trout or a Chris Bryant? You know, the players, the star players who have really expressed concerns about this going on, could you possibly see one of them walking away and just saying, no, that's it. I'm not comfortable. I'm going to take the rest of the year off now that my team is just buried and I can't, you know, they can't do anything?
No, I don't see it happening unless somebody gets sick or – But, you know, that's the whole other thing. You know, I forget who put out an article, but they were talking about the fact that, or it was actually had to do with schools, you know. These teams are in quote-unquote bubbles, yet players are still contracting it. So how is that going to work for schools when you've got hundreds of kids going into one place that are supposed to wear a mask all day, which is not going to happen? You know, so I don't know. That's why I just feel like they were not wise in even doing this season this year. It just shows that both sides are all about one thing, one thing only, their money.
Yes.
I mean, you've got to make money, but you can't tell me that the multi-millions that all these people make, they haven't saved a damn dollar where they could survive one season.
Yeah, no, I understand, but I think we expected that, right? You know, we're kind of used to that when it comes to everything. You know, we've known, you know, you and I have mentioned for years that, you know, it just boils down to the money. So, but yeah, and I don't think we mentioned the other day. I know I mentioned that the King has decided to sit out when we talked about David Price sitting out. But another Brave, Nick Markakis, has also decided to skip this year. So, You know, you can add him to the rule.
I honestly wish that Mike Trout would have been one of the guys. And not like even a knock on him or anything like that. It has nothing to do with any of that. I just feel like I wish it would have came from a guy like him or Bryce Harper. You know, we're not playing this year.
Yeah, you know, we still haven't seen that. You know, like, I think Price is the biggest star so far who's decided not to play. And, you know, unfortunately for him, he's nowhere near the player he used to be.
No.
So I don't think him skipping the season has, you know, has the impact it may have had 3, 4, 5 years ago, you know, when he was probably the top left-hander in the game. So, but yeah, you know that, and then you know, Dan, you'll be happy to know that my money league has started drafting. We are two picks into the first round, and the first pick was Christian Yelich, and the second pick was Mookie Betts. So, are you surprised that Trout didn't go one or two?
A little bit. I mean, that's shifting, but you know, I don't know from what you've told me about the league you have, it's a league full of the smartest guys in the room.
Oh yeah.
So you know, I mean, it's hard to judge.
I just don't know if they would be better than Trout. I guess maybe Yelich, he's put up really good numbers, but I you know, it's Mike Trout.
You know, the hard thing I have with both those guys, well, Yelich, number one, 60 games. So what are you going to do when he's out for 25 to 35 games? It's going to happen. And then Mookie, you know, going into the Dodger uniform, no longer being in the AL East, how much of an adjustment is he going to need in the NL West, seeing as he's only really seen, like, you know, a handful of pitchers. I know they're professional hitters and all that hoopla, but it's going to be a huge adjustment for him. And is he going to be able to make that adjustment, especially in a park that's not a home run derby stadium and doesn't have the gaps like Boston will have? You know, it's just a whole different animal for him. So what, he had 7 games or whatever it was in the playoffs. But, you know, I think the adjustment is going to have not the greatest effect on him. Prove me wrong, Mookie.
Yeah. So, yeah, and, you know, oddly, I don't know who or how they did these rankings, but whoever did them for the site we use, which is the CBS Sports site, they actually have 4 DHs at the top of the board right now. It's Nelson Cruz, JD Martinez, Yordan Alvarez, and Jorge Soler are supposed to be the next best 4 players up. Trout actually comes in at 7. They've got Freddie Freeman and Jose Altuve ahead of him. So, and, you know, Mr. Fantasy and I are, let's see, we're on the 3rd pick. We're picking 5th. So, I guess I don't know who's doing what, but I would be pretty happy if Trout fell to us at 5.
Oh yeah, and how do you feel about Freddie Freeman knowing that he is now a COVID guy?
Yeah, it's interesting with all these guys now, isn't it? That you've got to kind of wonder. You know, I'm under the impression he's going to come back, but, you know, will he? You know, I mean, I know he hasn't said. It's really interesting because, like, they don't have, our roster's kind of laid out, you know, like position-wise, like our league is. So I don't even know what the hell we're supposed to draft this year. So, you know, it's just kind of like, wait, what's on order? You know, who's picking? How many positions do we need? How many pitchers do we need? You know, nobody sent me anything, which of course is nothing new for this league. As you know, that I have been getting more emails than usual. But I'm kind of clueless on how we're setting up this draft. And I don't know if I told you they want to give out weekly awards. They're going to hand stuff out weekly instead of like just at the end of the year. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see how this one works out. But yeah, I guess, you know, I guess I'll just wait for our pick and then have to figure it out from there.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I thought it was pretty interesting when it was kind of like, oh, you know, because normally, you know, and what's really odd is normally, you know, one of the first two picks is starting pitcher, but you know, like, you know, you and I talked about it a little before, that's probably not going to be the case in most leagues this year, unless you're in some kind of keeper league, you know, where you could actually hang on to the guy you're drafting. But I'm kind of interested to see when that first starter comes off the board and, you know, who it is and, you know, how that kind of works out. But, you know, I'm not quite sure where it's going to go and how they're going to run with things. Cause you know, I told, you know, like you and I talked about, I'm in absolutely no hurry to draft a starting pitcher, and I'm hoping, you know, I'm hoping Mr. Fantasy is, you know, in the same situation, but we haven't spoken yet, so I don't know.
That's interesting. Especially since it's going to rain, Big Jack.
Is it? That's not good. But we'll, you know, hopefully he'll you know, he'll reach out to me here. I don't know. You know, maybe should we take Javi Baez at number 5?
Hell yeah.
So, you know, if he gets to us, maybe that could be a good pick.
You know, I think the most interesting thing about this, you know, as a Cubs fan, I can't speak on any other team, maybe the Angels, but, you know, we already know what's going to happen. You know, being able to see David Ross and what he does with this team, you know, I think that's one of the cool things that's going to come out of this shortened season. Because, I mean, David Ross is essentially getting a trial. You know, you better not screw the 60 games up. You know, and we'll actually get to see what his managing style is going to be like, despite, you know, Theo's stuff that he threw out there, which I'm like, how can you confirm anything? He hasn't managed a day in his life. How can you say that David Ross is the type of guy that's not going to accept a lineup card from you when we don't know that, because he hasn't done anything yet? And so I'm kind of looking forward to that. You know, I'm glad that Joe's out west now, and good luck, Angel fans, and hopefully it can happen for you, but you don't have the key Theo factor, so you're not getting a championship while Joe's there. You might get one playoff run. You'll get really high, and then you'll just peak and then fall off. Man, I'm such a jerk. But, I think that's what you brought up, Javi. So I just, you know, what made me start thinking is, you know, hopefully we'll see consistent Cubs team.
Yeah, hopefully.
You know, Javi's at short every day, and, you know, unless there's some kind of, you know, something, you know, the DA, well, where something works out where he might have to fill in at second for some reason. But, I mean, let's be honest. There's nobody on that team now that can fill that shortstop role better than Javi. So he shouldn't be playing in second or third this year. I hope that David Ross doesn't shuffle, you know, have Chris Bryant as the super utility player who's playing, you know, a game at every single position. But except, of course, like we discussed, Big Jack, I'm okay with 10 games at first base, even if he just starts it, plays two innings, because that helps us out fantasy-wise. You know, but I hope that, you know, David really takes this serious. Not that Joe didn't take it serious, and not that he wouldn't take it serious, but brings it back to a baseball team that actually won a World Championship Series. Because despite all of Joe Maddon's, you know, trickery, when he went into the playoffs the year they won the World Series, what did he go back to? Everything he mocked, every time he was questioned about his lineup. Oh, this ain't 1943. Oh, this ain't 1900. No, it isn't. And yet you went back to 100% traditional baseball lineups when you went into the playoffs. So obviously he proved himself that what he was doing really didn't work. So, you know, that's kind of what I'm hoping for as a baseball fan and as a Cubs fan, is that we get like a I don't want to say just traditional and all that, but something that actually makes sense, you know, not like you woke up, you drove your Winnebago around and we're like, huh, you know, today I might as well give Chris Bryant a day off and put him in right field. You know, those kind of things. So I just hope we get some good quality baseball, you know, for the time being and what you can do. I still don't buy it being a championship season. It's, you know, it's just kind of I don't know. I feel like give everyone a trophy this year because they showed up. It is that type of season, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's you know, it's going to end up being odd. I'm going to go with the best way to look at it, you know, just all kind of strange and the way, you know, the way this plays out. But, you know, you mentioned David Ross a little bit, and, you know, they always say, you know, during a full, you know, a manager can count for, you know, as many as 10 wins plus or minus. Do you think in a short season like that these guys actually have a bigger effect now? Because, you know, even though it may not be 10 games, if you cost your team a game here or a game there, that could be it for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so do you think these guys, you know, the managers themselves mean a little more?
I see what you're saying. It's so hard to judge it on such a short season because it's, you know, we all know that no pitcher is really going to be going max. You know, traditionally I would prefer seeing any starting pitcher go 7 innings. Of course, you want to go super traditional. These guys, I seen a Facebook post the other day about Bob Gibson from, I think it was the Cardinals, right? You know, he started like 34 games one year, 30 some odd games one year, and completed 27 of them. And, you know, I mean, it's never going to, that guy, Bob Gibson, would not be that guy in today's game. And I'm not saying that he couldn't Yeah, exactly, because they wouldn't let him. So, and we will never see him as that type of pitcher, you know. So I don't see that they're, you know, pitchers are going to be going 7 innings. So I think managers are going to feel a lot less pressure. And I don't think the whole costing a team, you know, 5 to 10 games is really going to matter this year. Because let's be honest, and you brought this up so many times, if a team has a bad streak, let's just say like the Nationals and what they started with last year, they're not recovering. You know, if you have 25 games, 30, let's just go with 30 games, that's half the season already, and you've only got 12 wins, I don't think you're climbing out of that hole.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I almost think you have to wonder if even if you start out, say, 15 and 15, you know, could that possibly be too big of a, you know, obviously depending on your division and where everybody else is, but, you know, that could be too big of a hole to frickin' dig yourselves out of. And that's insane when you think about it, but, you know, that's kind of what we're hoping for.
I don't know. I mean, you know, the one thing I'm also looking for, well, it'll be interesting, and I think I'm hoping that, you know, all the Joe Madden crap that went on, this would be the year to try some of that stuff, you know? The one thing we're not going to see is the pitcher being swapped out into batting seventh or fifth or whatever. So it'll be interesting, and I think it's a good transition to get – a lot of the naysayers used to the DH because, you know, I think neither you or I, neither one of us really want that to happen. But I think we both understand as far as the game is played today and the money, you know, for me, that's the biggest thing. I'm sorry, but Major League Baseball, the players union, the owners, all they just shut up, like quit saying why this is going to be better or that. There's one reason. There's one reason why you don't watch pitchers pitching. Well, there's two reasons. Number one, once they graduate high school, they don't ever pick up a bat again.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's reason number one. And reason number two is I just signed, Clayton Kershaw to $30 million a year for 6 years. What the hell would I want him standing at the plate with the possibility of getting hit by a pitch off of retaliation? You know what I mean? Like, we know it's the unwritten rule. It could still happen. He could still get beamed in the ass, in the ribs. You know, imagine if he bruised his rib. He might be out, you know. So let's just call it as it is. Quit acting like we're all stupid and we don't know what's going on. And it is the frickin' money. I don't want Zach Greinke on the plate anymore, making $34 million a year for my team.
Right.
That's insane.
You know, you don't want to pull in a hammy running the bases or, you know, any of that other odd stuff that, you know, to be honest, you might not think an athlete would do, but for some reason these guys do it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I still think it has a whole hell of a lot to do with their training regimens. Not that I'm saying they shouldn't train, but I still feel like there's a lot of guys who still try to train like bodybuilders and not baseball players.
So, to be honest, I will miss seeing like Madison Bumgarner hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always enjoyed that. You mentioned Zach Greinke. I mean, you know, there were a few guys that could swing the bat and, looked like actual major league hitters, but obviously on the opposite side, I'm not going to miss John Lester going 0 for whatever he was to start his career, 40 or 36 or whatever it turned out to be. So, I get that, but it's part of the, I grew up with pitchers hitting, and in reality, I mean, they didn't do a whole lot of hitting, but they were there to sacrifice runners over, and do those kind of things. But now that that's been eliminated from the game pretty much, there's no place for him in the batter's box. You might as well get him the hell out of there. So.
Yeah. Well, and it's just like I said, couple of weeks ago or whatever, when they started bringing up pitchers, Madison Bumgarner's numbers and this and that. And it's like, dude, do you forget that's out of like 500 at bats for his entire career where
yeah.
the position player gets 500 bats a season? Like you cannot compare apples and monkeys, it doesn't work.
But you could give apples to monkeys.
Exactly.
Yeah, obviously, like I said, I'll miss those guys, but, you know, I'll adjust. I'll get used to it. It's just like, you know, everything else they've done to me over the years with sports. You know, you adapt, you overcome, you deal with it. I'll never take that extreme measure of not watching, even though I'll probably threaten it time and time again. It's never going to happen. It's just not in my nature. My biggest boycott is the fact that I can't watch the Cubs on TV because Len Casper and Jim DeShays drive me nuts. So I just go to the radio, because Pat Hughes is freaking awesome. I'm not a huge Ron Coomer fan, but Pat Hughes is great. So, I end up going that route. And, Steve Stone, with the White Sox, is one of the best analysts in baseball, so he's fine. There's no issue there. And, of course, how much I love Michael Kay, so I can't wait for the Yankee games to get on the MLB Network so I can hear him pretty much every day. So, as soon as you and I get done with the podcast, I'm going to grab my Echo Dot you bought me and have it play the Mickey Mouse Network there out of New York, because Michael Kay will just be wrapping up his show, and I'll get to listen to the last, 30 minutes or so of it.
Yeah, as much as I've been up on speed on some of that, you're passing me by, because I don't take advantage, I guess, as much as trying to tune into some out-of-market radio stations.
Yeah, well, the thing that killed me is I was looking forward to getting the out-of-market baseball games. I mean, I was jonesing to put the Mariners on as I went to sleep for work. And now I've been waiting. I damn well hope the Seattle station I get on it has the Mariner games. Because I get like 710 or 700, so I'm going to have to go in and check and, see what station they're on, and if not, see if that one has it, and, who I get and who I don't get and all that other fun stuff I got to deal with. That was, one of the more exciting things about it when I started playing with it a little more and kind of figuring out what it could do besides, just telling it to play whatever stupid song I want to hear or asking it how the weather is. So, it's fun to have, even if they're spying on me, because let's face it, my life is so boring. There's, nothing they're really going to learn.
Yeah, I try telling my wife that too, but no, Alexa can't. She's got to go in the garage. Okay.
what are they going to learn from me, that I spend too much time talking about sports, writing about sports, and thinking about sports? That's about it, right? I don't think I do anything else. You and Stu are probably the only two friends I pretty much have now, and you live 8,000 miles away, and Stu is too old for me to hang out with, even though he probably gets around better than I do. So, what's the worst they hear is me talking to one of the cats when somebody makes a bad play. So.
Oh, yeah.
They may wonder who I'm talking to, but that's kind of the life I live now, and I just kind of learned to deal with it. But I'm hoping, like I said, I get some of these out of market games and really kind of tune in and see how it goes. Otherwise, I don't know. I don't know what I'll do if not. All right, well, what do you say you and I get out of here?
Horsetimeradio.com.